A great source on what burning oil would do to the climate turns out to have been Exxon, if only it had chosen to share. I'm David Brancaccio. It's been known for years that ExxonMobil chose to sow doubt about climate science, even though it was aware of the human effects on global temperatures. Now a new study in the journal Science finds that for decades, Exxon had remarkably accurate in-house predictions about what the burning of fossil fuel would do to temperatures around the world. Marketplace's Nova Safo is following this.
Yeah, the backdrop to this study, David, is that Exxon, along with other oil and gas companies, are facing lawsuits from states which accuse the companies of knowing about climate change but misleading the public about it for decades, you know, akin to the tobacco industry lawsuits in the late 1990s. And in the case of Exxon, there were reports a couple of years ago about its own company scientists confirming climate change as far back as the 1970s. What's new here is the extent of that knowledge and how accurate it was, at least according to this published study. It says Exxon scientists were at times even more accurate in their predictions of what was to come than government and academic scientists. And what much of Exxon's internal projections found was that burning fossil fuels would warm the planet by about 0.3 degrees every decade. And that's almost exactly what's happened. Scientists say since 1981, planet warming has accelerated to 0.32 degrees Fahrenheit per decade.
And how has Exxon responded to these latest revelations in that journal?
Well, an Exxon spokesperson told the Associated Press that company scientists put out a lot of research over the years, and all of that was part of what the spokesman called well-intended internal policy debates. So they're, you know, pushing back against this idea that Exxon knew all along about climate change and yet was putting out disinformation. And the company spokesperson also said Exxon is supportive of, quote, effective policy solutions to help deal with the climate crisis that we're facing.
All right, Nova Safo, thank you. Markets here, S&P futures are down 0.3%. The U.S. 10-year interest rate is at 3.47%, with many market players betting, and they could be wrong, that the Fed will start lowering interest rates maybe mid-year. Oil's been trending up this week, with crude up 1% in New York now, $79 a barrel. Now, there's regular stock in a company, then there's special stock that comes with additional rights for investors. China is moving to take what are referred to as golden shares in local parts of some of its biggest tech firms, including e-commerce giant Alibaba and Tencent, the world's biggest video game seller. Golden shares give the holder more power to influence company decisions, meaning in this case, the Chinese government will have that power. The BBC's Will Bain has more.
What the Chinese government appears to be doing is ostensibly buying a golden share in some of its biggest and most successful technology firms. Whilst not explicitly one, it's 1% stakes in various arms of firms like the shopping and pay giant Alibaba, Tencent and TikTok's owner ByteDance would come with a government seat on the company's boards. And according to reports, likely a sign-off on things like what content gets censored on the platform and what doesn't. For Duncan Clark, chairman of the consultants BDA China and longtime watcher of Chinese tech, the message is clear.
What it is doing, I think, is making explicit what was already implicit by having a equivalent of a golden share, having some more management rights and a seat. It's making it explicit that government has the ultimate say.
How regulators around the world take that message is the next big question. I'm the BBC's Will Bain for Marketplace.
Last year's trillion-dollar infrastructure bill, among other things, earmarks an unprecedented pile of cash to get fast internet to people. In some parts of some cities and in rural areas, service remains pokey. Now there's criticism that the Federal Communications Commission's planning maps for broadband are flawed, with some communities are also finding there wasn't enough time to challenge them. Texas Public Radio's Paul Flav reports.
Last month, Kimball Sikapkotiwa testified at a hearing on internet access. She's a member of the Hopi tribe who lives in Pueblo Cochiti, 45 minutes south of Santa Fe, and she said new FCC broadband maps are flawed, especially for tribal lands.
In my rural community, the map currently shows 3 residences when it should show 275.
The map has other gaps, too. The state of New York reported at least 31,000 state residences were missing. These maps will be used to divvy up $42.5 billion to expand broadband access where it's needed most. Internet access advocates complained for years that the old broadband maps were incomplete. The new maps are an improvement, but problems still drew the attention of 24 senators who asked the FCC for more accuracy. And any challenges to the maps have to be submitted by this week. Communities have been scrambling to meet the deadline within a 2-month window that included 3 holidays and one of the biggest winter storms on record. Dustin Loop is a program manager at the National Broadband Mapping Coalition.
It's just so detached from the reality that people live.
In New Mexico, the rugged mountainous terrain makes broadband expansion expensive and out of reach for many areas. Kelly Schlegel runs the state office responsible for challenging the map, and she says there's a lot on the line if communities are not represented correctly.
And it could possibly leave hundreds of millions of dollars on the table instead of flowing to New Mexico, which really keeps me up at night.
A number of local governments in at least 19 states have asked for more time, but the federal government hasn't paused the process. A spokesperson for the National Telecommunications and Information Administration says in order to get the funding out in June, the agency must adhere to the deadline, but communities can still file challenges after that point, and they may be included. I'm Paul Flav for Marketplace.
So, you clock in at work at 8:53, yet corporate rounds you up to the next 15-minute increment, meaning you get paid as if you came in at 9 o'clock instead. Home Depot has now agreed to pay employees using 1-minute increments instead of the quarter-hour thing after lawsuits. The publication Insider quotes Home Depot saying that while the 15-minute rounding was an industry-wide practice, it will start with the minutes this coming Monday. Just don't be late. Under the old system, someone coming in at 9:07 could have gotten paid for 9 a.m., right? I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report with digital producers Jared Dang. Our engineer is Jessen Dueler, and Nick Esposito is running board here this morning. I'm David Brancaccio. From APM, American Public Media.